Blog Talk Radio.
One step closer, I will trust.
Something tells me that we have an army in here tonight. Is this the gathering of the willing ones? The ones who freely spend their lives out of love for God, for His glory, so the earth can be full of the glory of the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophetess Stacy. Thank you so much for joining me on tonight, whether you're listening on the phone lines, online, or on the podcast, on Twitter or Facebook or however. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of this ministry. I truly appreciate it. The two songs that I played for tonight to open the service up was Beauty of the Lord by the Desperation Band and Heal the Wound by Point of Grace. With that being said, let's get right into the word for tonight. I pray that you're blessed by what you're about to hear.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for another opportunity, God, another Monday night, God, to sit before your people to tell them what thus says the Lord. I'm praying on tonight, God, that somebody's eyes are open and that they will get delivered and healed out of the situation that they're in. In the name of Jesus, God, that your name may get the glory. Amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, I will be reading verse 17, 20, 22, all the way through 29. Again, that's 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I'm going to read verse 17, verse 20, and verse 22, all the way through to 29 from the NIV. I suggest in your own personal time you read the whole chapter of 1 Samuel 17. But for tonight, those are the scriptures that I'm going with on tonight. For time's sake. Now Jesse said to his son David, take the ophah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites has been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He also will give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? David's response to tonight's foundational text was the typical response of someone who's being abused. I'll say it again because many of you have read this text but never thought of it like that. David's response in tonight's foundational text was a typical response of someone who is being abused. David said, now what have I done? Why is it that the victim is always the one set up to take the blame? Why is it the victim is always the one set up to take the blame? Somebody, you're pointing the finger at yourself. You are pointing the finger at yourself like somehow you are responsible for your being treated like that, talked to like that, criticized and belittled like that. And what's really sad is that some of you don't even recognize it as abuse. And what's really sad is that some of you don't even recognize it as abuse. Somebody, you've gotten so used to being talked to that way. You've gotten so used to being talked to that way, criticized and belittled that way. You don't even realize you're being verbally abused. You don't even realize you're being verbally abused. But God says that's exactly what it is. It's verbal abuse. It's verbal abuse. Let's talk. Here David was in 1 Samuel 17, just prior to being verbally attacked by his brother of all people, trying to be a good Samaritan and hand deliver lunch to his brothers. Just like you, he was going about his day, trying to do something good, trying to treat people, mainly his brothers, the way he wanted to be treated. And many of you, you know how it feels to try to treat somebody the way that you want to be treated, and things still don't go right. Well, here David was trying to treat people the way he wanted to be treated, mainly his brothers, the way he wanted them to treat him. Just like you, David was minding his own business. David was minding his own business when he overheard something that interested him. And he decided to ask about it. He overheard something that interests him, and he decided to ask about it. No harm in asking a question, right? I mean, it wasn't like what he overheard was some big secret. They had been talking about it in the public, out in public. I mean, it wasn't like what he overheard was some big secret. It was said publicly. And so he asked his question publicly. But here's the thing. Don't miss it, but here's the thing. You know it's verbal abuse when the other person doesn't want you to have a voice. You know it's verbal abuse when the other person doesn't want you to have a voice, have an opinion, or a chance even to express your voice or opinion, let alone ask a question. Other signs of verbal abuse. Being called inappropriate names. Being called inappropriate names, like in the text, David was called conceited. He was told that he had a wicked heart. All these things that were not true. Being called inappropriate names, that's one sign of verbal abuse. Another sign is using words to shame, using threats to intimidate, blaming the victim. Your feelings are dismissed. When you feel like you can't win, your self-esteem and your self-confidence are shot. You often are the butt of jokes that make you feel bad. If you're not careful, very careful, the verbal abuse escalates to physical altercation. Somebody, if you're not careful, the verbal abuse will escalate to physical altercation. But we pray against that on tonight. No physical altercation. I pray this message tonight really causes somebody to think about your day, today life. I pray this message tonight really makes somebody think about your day-to-day life, how you get treated, how you get talked to. Because whether you know it or not, they're seeking to verbally neutralize you. Neutralize, that's the word that God gave me. God says they're seeking to verbally neutralize you. Tonight's message, verbally neutralized. By neutralized, I mean they're seeking to render you ineffective. By neutralized, I mean they're seeking to render you ineffective. Like nothing you say really matters. Your words literally go in one ear and out the other. Which explains why the last thing David says in tonight's foundational text was, can I even speak? Which explains why the last thing David said in tonight's foundational text was, can I even speak? Sadly, though, David, no, you can't. You can't even speak when somebody like your brother Eliab is around. Without getting verbally attacked, without him calling you conceited, calling you wicked, calling your heart wicked, without him lashing out at you, accusing you of having a hidden motive, without him making you feel little, feel like nothing at all. Somebody, I'm quite sure you can relate to all of that. They call you conceited. They call you wicked and evil. They lash out at you, accuse you of this and that, make you feel little, feel like nothing at all. And oftentimes you feel yourself being very discouraged in their presence. On tonight, I want to know, what names are you being called? As I feel like many of you can relate to David, what he was being called, but still, what names are you being called? How does being called those names make you feel? And somebody, you think you're just going through a temporary situation. You think they're just having an anger moment. You think they're just having an angry moment. They don't really mean the things that they're saying right now. That's how you convince yourself that the situation is not what the situation is. That's how you convince yourself that the situation is not what the situation actually is. And somebody, you think you're just in they're just in an angry moment. You're just in a temporary situation. They don't really mean the things that they're saying right now. Even if it was supposed to be a joke, they still didn't hesitate to deliver the punchline. Remember that even if it was supposed to be a joke, they still didn't hesitate to deliver the punchline at your expense. You're not tuning in for nothing tonight, beloved. Think about this. The Bible says a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Luke 6 and 45, NIV. The New Living Translation says, what you say flows from what's in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. The CEV says, your words show what is in your heart. So, beloved, do you still think they don't mean the things they say? So, beloved, do you still think, after hearing that scripture broke down in more than one translation, I gave you three translations. I gave you Luke 6:45 from the NIV, the New Living Translation, and the Contemporary English Version. After hearing three translations that say basically, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Your words show what's in your heart. After hearing all three translations basically say the same thing, do you still think they don't mean the things they say? Or could it be that the anger pushed them to finally say some things they've had stored up in their heart for quite a while? Or could it be that the anger pushed them to finally say some things that they've been wanting to say? It's been stored up in their heart. I want you, starting tonight, to take some time and think. Beloved, I want you, yes, you, the one that's listening in now. I don't care if now is live or now is listening to the replay, listening to the podcast. I want you, starting tonight, to take some time and think. You know I like to make you think on Prolific Fire. I want you to think on tonight. Think. Really access your situation and stop making excuses. Really assess your situation and stop making excuses. That's not just who they are. That's not just how they are. Stop making excuses. Eliab's verbal attack on David was deliberate. Hear me. Eliab's verbal attack on David was deliberate. Maybe he didn't know when he would get the opportunity, but he had been storing up anger in his heart against David ever since David got anointed king instead of him. Even though Samuel did admit that Eliab looked the part, God said, no, not him. Remember that? When God turned down all the brothers, all of Jesse's sons, except David, because they weren't the one. But he especially said of Eliab, no, he is not the one, because at first Samuel did think that Eliab was the one because he looked the part. But still, God said, no, not him, in 1 Samuel 16. Now, it seems to me, maybe it's just me, I don't know. If I say it, I don't know if it's you too. But it just seems to me that Eliab should have been angry with God. He should have been angry with God instead of his brother. It was God that said no to him, not David. It was God that said no, not him, and rejected him from the position of king. David didn't have an active role in the decision that God made. David was just being himself. David was just being David. He didn't have an active role in the decision that God made. So why be verbally abusive toward him and not God? So why be verbally abusive, exchange words with him and not God? People don't want to hear the truth. Oh, no, no, no. They don't want to hear the truth. Not when the truth opposes the actions they decided to take. People don't want to hear the truth, not when the truth opposes the actions they decided to take. Somebody, the only reason that person is verbally abusive towards you is because they decided to take it out on you, what somebody else done to them. The only reason that person is verbally abusive towards you is because they decided to take it out on you, what somebody else had done to them. They abuse you verbally because that's how they grew up being talked to, how they grew up being treated, criticized, teased. But does that make it right? That's the question on tonight. But does that make it right? Absolutely not. Hear me. Absolutely not. I told you to stop making excuses, and I won't make excuses either. It is absolutely not right. No excuses. No excuse for abuse. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalms 150, verse 6. Which means, as long as we have breath in our bodies, God wants us to praise him, to be expressive, to show some type of expression, to use our voice, and not allow our thoughts and opinions to be walked on. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Psalms 150 and verse 6. I know you ain't never heard it like this, but this is the revelation that God gave me, which means as long as we have breath in our bodies, God wants us to praise him, to be expressive, to show some type of expression, to use our voice, and not allow our thoughts and opinions to be walked on. You have breath, which means you're human too. You have breath, which means you're human too, just like them. And you don't deserve to be joked about. Hear me, you don't deserve to be joked about, criticized, belittled, teased, humiliated, privately or publicly. Because some people think what's done in private is their business. It's your business as long as it doesn't affect somebody else. But hurting that person will hurt somebody else. Whoever loves them will be affected by how you treat them. Hear me again. Whoever loves them will be affected by how you treat them. So remember that you're not just treating them that way. You're possibly treating the whole family that way. And somebody gonna be mad. Because some families don't play. That's just a warning. Anyway, as I was saying, you don't deserve to be joked about, criticized, belittled, teased, humiliated, privately or publicly. You are not to blame. Hear me, you are not to blame. You don't deserve to feel like you're at fault. You don't deserve to feel like you're at fault, like this is because of you. Whatever's going on in that person's mind, in that person's little narrow world, it's because of you. You don't deserve to keep having your feelings, your thoughts, your opinions dismissed like you ain't said nothing, like it don't mean nothing. You don't deserve to feel intimidated, as all forms of abuse has intimidation fear attached to it. As all forms of abuse has intimidation, has fear attached to it. You don't deserve to feel like you can't win. You don't deserve to feel like you can't win, like you can't even speak, like David started out in tonight's text. Can I even speak? You don't deserve to feel like you can't even speak. David felt like he couldn't even speak. He said it right there in tonight's foundational text. 15 years old, and David was feeling like he couldn't even speak. Most commentary says that about this time, around this time, he was about 15 years old. So he was 15 years old and feeling like he couldn't even speak, like he couldn't even express himself, not even to his older brother, Eliab, who was at this time at least about 20-ish, because according to Numbers 1 and verse 3, in order to join the Israelite army that he was a part of, a young man had to be at least 20. So we know that David was about 15 and Eliab was 20-ish. So here we have a boy at 15 years old being verbally attacked in public by a young man who is at least 20, using words that would down him. He deliberately used words that would down David, falsely accused him, hurt him to his heart. 15 and 20, which means this was a child being abused verbally by an adult. 15 and 20, which means this was a child being verbally abused verbally by an adult. Somebody on tonight, the verbal attack, the verbal abuse is not coming from your coworkers. Oh, no. The verbal attack is not coming from your coworkers or your so-wannabe haters. It's not coming from some wannabe haters, but it's right there in your home. But it's right there in your home between you and your child. It's right there, boom, it's right there in your home between you and your child. I know you want your child to obey you. And hear me, parents, I know you want your child to obey you and to honor you, and they should as children. That's according to Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2 from the New King James. But just a short verses down from there, just a few short verses down from there, the Bible says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians 6 and 4, New King James. Which means in relationship with your child, the child has a part to play, but you do too as a parent. You have a part to play as well. Again, that's Ephesians 6 and 4. As you and you fathers, do not provoke your child to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4, New King James, which means in relationship with your child, the child has a part to play, but so do you as a parent. Here's another scripture. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That scripture there hurts because I can just feel some child being discouraged on tonight. In light of this scripture, I'm surprised David didn't end up killing Eliab instead of Goliath. Instead, he chose to turn away from Eliab and all that foolishness he was talking. Whoever it is, whether it's your husband or wife, in-laws, so-called friends or family members, etc., you need to just walk away. Hear me, you need to just walk away if possible. Before you do something you will regret. You need to just walk away if possible. Before you do something you will regret. In defense of how you're being talked to, how you're being treated. Abuse is wrong. Of course it's wrong. Abuse is wrong in any form, in any hands, young or old, male or female. Father God, somebody's eyes have been opened tonight. They just realized they are being abused, that there is nothing normal about the way that they are being talked to, the way that they are being treated. Dry their eyes on tonight and help them to gradually remove themselves from the situation, away from the toxic relationship, the toxic friendship, the toxic job opportunity that they took, away from toxic people, toxic coworkers, away from a toxic church. That's right, away from a toxic church where leadership is abusive and not centering on drawing people with love and kindness like you did, Father, in your word. Because in Jeremiah 31 and 3, you said, "With love and kindness have I drawn thee." So help somebody remove themselves from a toxic church. And it's not about relationships and people and coworkers. Somebody you need to be removed from a toxic church, upon a toxic leadership, abusive leadership. Heal a toxic marriage on tonight, as it has been some verbal abuse tactics on both sides. To be honest, it's been verbal abuse tactics used on both sides. So, Father God, on tonight, heal a toxic marriage on tonight. Set free a child who is being verbally abused, physically abused, or sexually abused, or maybe all three. Free them from the offender, and let justice be served in every case that comes to the light and is exposed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let them all regain their voice and take back their right to their thoughts and opinions without being or feeling intimidated, ashamed, accused, or belittled, etc. So be it. Amen. And before I continue in prayer, the Lord told me to go back over the signs of verbal abuse again, so I'm going to go over that one more time. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said thank you, Lord, because you need these points. Just in case you ain't figured out what you're saying on tonight's message. Okay, but here's the thing. You know it's verbal abuse when the other person doesn't want you to have a voice. They don't want you to have a voice. That's how you know it's verbal abuse. They don't want you to have a voice. They don't want you to have an opinion or a chance to even express your voice or opinion, let alone ask a question. Other signs of verbal abuse. Being called inappropriate names, using words to shame, using threats to intimidate, blaming the victim. Your feelings are dismissed when you feel like you can't win. Your self-esteem and self-confidence are shot. You often are the butt of jokes that make you feel bad. If you're not very careful, the verbal abuse escalates to physical altercations. But as I said, we bind that on tonight, no physical altercations will occur. And if they have occurred, get you some help. Get out. Get out. Now I'm going to continue. Right now I'm going to pray for anybody that's not saved, but you're listening under the sound of my voice. Thank you for listening on tonight. After this prayer, I pray that you receive and become a part of the Lord's family. There's always room for you. God has need of you. He's about to untie you out of some situations because he has need of you. For you. He don't want you to be nobody else. He wants you to come to him just as you are. I can't promise you a couple months up the road that you will stay the same, but he wants you to come as you are. And let him make the changes, the necessary alterations that need to be made. Because if you do it, you're going to do too much cutting, too much removing, too much of this, too much of that. Let God do it. That's what I've learned over the years. Let God do it. So here's my prayer for you if you're not saved. Father God, touch every unsaved soul in search of Jesus. Help them to realize that what they need is not a thing or an object or another hit, but it's actually a person. His name is Jesus. Help them accept him as their Lord and Savior, to confess him and turn away from their life of sin. In Jesus' name, amen. This concludes the message for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of the message on tonight. I pray that your eyes will open. If you're in this situation, if you feel like you're being verbally abused, because most times you know, deep down, you know, it's time to make some changes. If you're on the phone lines and you need prayer other than what we just prayed and prophesied and blessed the Lord for bringing forth on tonight, if it's something other than that, if you're on the phone lines right now, be sure to press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you after the last few announcements. Just go on and press 1 on your phone and get ready. I will be with you after these last few announcements. You're not on the phone lines for nothing. If you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire or the Cash App. It's a dollar symbol and prolific fire. The P in prolific is capital. The F in fire is capital. Written together, prolific fire. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire on Instagram at Prophetess Stacy. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, you can check out the ministry's website. Many of you have been on the website, and I'm so pleased. You know how I know you've been on the website? Because a few of you sent your prayer requests in through the website. So if you want to send your prayer requests in that way, feel free to do so. Check out prolificfire.com to send in your prayer request. If you don't want to talk to me live or in private, you can do it that way. It's private as well. Check out prolificfire.com. You can donate that way if you desire to. You can sponsor a child through World Vision. I've been doing so for 22 years, and over the years, the children have blessed me far more than I would ever be able to bless them or to repay. It's a blessing to be able to provide food, clean water, education, and just be a part of them growing up and changing and being the best that they can be. And knowing that I help fulfill what the Bible says about feeding him when he was hungry or when he needed clothes, I was there doing what I needed to do. By that scripture, he means when you help other people. So please reach out and help some needy children overseas if you desire to do that kind of missions work through World Vision. You can find that on the website, prolificfire.com. I'm also a World Vision child ambassador. So reach out to me, and I can connect you with a child if you desire to do that. So let me give you my personal information in case you don't want to go through the website because maybe you're not computer savvy. And you don't want to talk on the air, so maybe you just want to pick up the good old cell phone and call me that way or text me. That's fine. Let me give you my personal information. You can call or text 865. That's 865-408-8690. 865-408-8690. Or you can send me an email at prophetstacy@prolificfire.com. And as I was saying, if you don't get your prayer request in on tonight and if you don't reach out to me in any kind of way, be sure to join us on Friday for Faith on the Line with Prophet Stacy. But I'd like to say, even if you do get your prayer request in, still join us for prayer on Friday night. You can never have too much prayer, especially these days with everything that's going on. We need prayer. We need to stay in constant contact with God. We need to stay in his presence. And in prayer is the quickest way to get in his presence. Worship is the quickest way to get in his presence. And both of them will be included Friday night on Faith on the Line with Prophet Page. It's Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. By calling the same number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. That's 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then too. So call in. And then don't forget that Prolific Fire will resume on next Monday. So be right back here on Prolific Fire with me, same night, time, and place when the message will be rebuilding after disgrace. Rebuilding after disgrace. And yes, I'm coming with another real life issue because that's the way the Lord has anointed me. The vision statement for this ministry is, for those of you that don't know, Prolific Fire, seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. And next week, the real life issue that we will be talking about is rebuilding after disgrace. To God be the glory.
Have a good night, everybody. I love you.